I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I can say that we can make a good deal right now, but maybe not a great deal. And if it's not a great deal, when I'm making it, because we can make a great deal with this guy right here. If it's not going to be a real deal, because Obama had that horrible JCPOA, whatever it was the worst deal. It was a path for Iran to have a nuclear weapon very quickly. Years ago, they would have had a nuclear weapon. But we have things understood now with Iran. It's been nasty. They've lost their leaders. They've lost. And it really is regime change. You know, we didn't set out for regime change. But by the fact that we're dealing with a totally different group of people than we were at the beginning. And frankly, I find them to be much more reasonable. I actually find them to be smarter, but I find them to be much more reasonable. This is regime change. One regime is gone, another regime is gone. We're dealing with the third. Pieces of it, because some of them are gone too.
And the hardliners in Iran are, in one word, in a tizzy over President Trump's forthcoming deal with Iran. If there is a deal, we don't have one yet. I remind you that yesterday, Connecticut Democrat Senator Murphy said, a bad deal is better than no deal. What the hell does that mean? A bad deal is let them continue their nuclear weapon production would be a bad deal. Let them continue to build their arsenal of ballistic missiles, that would be a bad deal. But he says a bad deal would be better than no deal. No. You got it backwards. A good deal is no nukes, no more missiles. Then we have the beginning of a deal. President Trump asserting again yesterday, Iran is negotiating on fumes and insisting November's midterm elections will not factor in shaping his approach to this nearly three-month-old conflict. But of course, we have not been fighting all 3 months. The War Powers Act, 60 days, we didn't reach that point when we suddenly decided we will cease shooting unless you shoot at us, and then we will return fire. We're not going to just sit there and let you decimate our Marines, our Navy, our Air Force, and just say, we'll take it. Give us another, please. Not likely. And by the way, on that remark where he said that he's not really worried about the midterms elections and not going to factor in his decision. Before we finish this program today, you're going to hear from the pompous arse Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC and his remarks about what I just said when Trump said, well, I'm not worried about midterm elections. And Lawrence is almost as pompous as he is, ready to set his hair on fire. You're going to hear from him before we wrap up today. By the way, of course, we are here in this year celebrating 250 years of America. Stop and think about that. 250 years ago, coming up July 4th. And by the way, let me point out, this is also marking 5 years of News Talk STL. And you know why we're still here after 5 years and growing by leaps and bounds? It's because of you. And we appreciate it. We thank you. You're spreading the word. And we're getting more people signing on, listening on a constant basis. And sponsors lining up. So let me take a moment to remind you. Whenever you need something one of these sponsors is offering, please support them because they're supporting 100% patriotic radio with News Talk STL. And in fact, even if you don't need something, you hear them advertised, take a moment, take a moment to call them and say, thank you for giving your support to News Talk STL. We appreciate it. We're here with Larry Connors USA every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Oh, I'll give you a head up right now. Next Monday, we will be on at noon. Jamie's going to take some well-deserved time off. Our program will air from noon to 2, but we will have a repeat of that program in this same hour next week. And with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will know more when you finish this hour than you do right now. That is a guarantee. And in our next hour, is there a legitimate fear, of Ebola getting into the U.S.? It is a deadly, deadly disease. We'll get into that. You're going to hear from Secretary of State Rubio. And I'll tell you what the World Health Organization says it's doing for all that it would be worth, how they handled COVID. And later this hour, Jill Biden admits what we all knew about Joe. She now admits it, and it's shameful that she's doing it now. And plus this, I've been running a commentary all day on this point. This was a piece in the Financial Times today, or yesterday actually. Smartphones might be leading to fewer babies. What? How? And the story behind the story today. The House of Mysterious Death in Peavey, Missouri. That's coming up before we wrap up this hour. In the meantime, what are we going to be doing about Iran and how soon and how fast and where do they stand? Jim Hansen, retired U.S. Army Special Forces.
So the Iranians, because of the blockade, are definitely behind the eight ball. They have no money to pay their bad guys. You know, they have no revenue to run their government. What they have is a few of their dangerous toys left to menace the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
So between those two things, they need to make a deal. Now, in the end, a deal is going to be made and the Strait will open, even if we have to force it open. Yeah. The U.S. Navy can do that, and it will be a fight. You know, it'll be difficult, it'll be dangerous, but we will get oil flowing through that. And if we have to continue bombing Iran during that to keep them off balance, that may be the 1-2 punch they get.
Give them the 1-2 punch. Give them a KO. And by the way, last night, Iran launched a ballistic missile toward Kuwait. It was intercepted by Kuwaiti forces. They're attacking their neighboring states while at the same time calling for join us in the fight against the Imperial West. And yet they're shooting at the ones they're trying to say, join us. There is no real leadership, I'm convinced, in Iran at this point. And the people we're talking to, I don't know if they have the authority to do anything. But we're trying to do talks to avoid more shooting. We could have annihilated the entire nation of Iran in 3 days. Trump doesn't want that. He wants to preserve it and protect the Iranian people who are being held under this dictator. I remind you, in 1979, before they took over our embassy, Iran was one of the most Western nations in the Middle East. And in fact, we were supplying, the U.S. was supplying them missiles, rockets, guns, things of that nature. We were doing that up to 1979. So yeah, we gave some weapons to them that they now turned against us. So we're still trying to make a peace deal, but we will fight back, of course. And yet the leftist media wants to frame anytime we defend ourselves, we are attacking Iran.
In some ways, it's the U.S. sending the message that they're prepared to go back to war, and it's Iran sending the message that they don't fear it. And so, you know, we're in the process where talks are taking place in parallel to warlike actions. But as you said, the confusion that we are currently witnessing is so great. I mean, I feel like saying, because I've been on the show before and we've had the same discussion,
yeah.
This is Groundhog Day, mm-hmm. But the groundhog is unwell. I mean, given what the president has said, you mentioned some of what he said, but he also mused about saying he wouldn't reach a deal with Iran unless Saudi Arabia and mm-hmm. Qatar and other countries agreed to normalize relations with Israel, which they will not do, certainly not mm-hmm. now. He said they owed it to him as if they owe him anything when he's the one who got them into the mess, and now they're begging him to get them out of the mess that he created. So, you know, it's so hard to make sense of it. And all one could hope is that his initial instinct, at least a few days ago, which is, let's get end this war, let's get out of this mess, that will prevail against the other instinct, which is his desire to always appear to have completely annihilated his enemies.
You know where the mess started with that guy. That guy, he was part of the mess under the Obama administration. But of course, he's on a friendly newscast with Jen Psaki and saying, Trump has started all this. He started this mess. The guy you were listening to is Robert Malley. He was leading the negotiations in the 2015 nuclear war agreement that Obama was working out with Iran. And Iran promised Obama, we will not build a nuclear weapon on your watch. And Iran said, they will not build one on my watch. But he was in his closing term. But they wanted capability to build it and be ready as soon as he left office. And Miller was one of the ones negotiating this great agreement. I want you to hear from Fox analyst Ashley Webster.
Iran's regime's issuing new warnings today after the War Department launched what they are calling self-defense strikes. A U.S. official tells Fox this does not mean that the ceasefire is now over. Iran's foreign ministry, though, is threatening consequences now, saying, quote, the Islamic Republic of Iran will leave no act of aggression unanswered. Fox Business correspondent Ashley Webster reports live from Tel Aviv for us this afternoon. Hey, Ashley.
Hey there, Jillian. Indeed, U.S. Central Command says it launched those self-described self-defense strikes in order to protect U.S. troops from Iranian forces. Later in the day, CENTCOM put out a statement that said, in part, that the targets in those strikes included missile launch sites and Iranian boats attempting to, what it says, emplace mines. U.S. Central Command, it says, continues to defend our forces while using restraint during the ongoing ceasefire. As you would imagine, the strikes drew instant anger from Iran, who accused the U.S. of a gross violation of a ceasefire.
Sure.
Listen.
It is not the first time we are witnessing these contradictions from the United States. In fact, one of the problems in our negotiations is these inconsistencies and contradictions in their behavior. This is not a new issue.
Iran is also vowing to leave what it says no act of aggression unanswered, adding that America will no longer have a safe haven in the Middle East.
Right, right. China and Russia are trying at the same time, trying to strengthen their power in Cuba. And Cuba is claiming that we're prepared for war with the U.S. But President Trump is warning Cuba what could happen.
We are now learning a new U.S. aircraft carrier is moving into the Caribbean among more U.S. pressure against the Cuban government. U.S. Southern Command posting this video of the Nimitz carrier strike group on X this Wednesday. Around the same time murder charges against Raul Castro were announced. The State Department previously reported the USS Nimitz was in Rio de Janeiro to perform, quote, joint naval exercises with the Brazilian Navy 2 weeks ago before moving it into the Caribbean. Today, the New York Times was the first to report that the strike group will stay in the Caribbean for at least a few days as part of the Trump administration's pressure on the Cuban regime to change their government system or face possible military action. President Trump is in the Oval Office deflecting the idea that the carrier will be used in an operation against Cuba, although at the same time hinted at doing something no other U.S. president has done with the island.
No, not at all. The Cuba, look, it's a failed country. Everybody knows it. Other presidents have looked at this for 50, 60 years doing something, and it looks like I'll be the one that does it.
Yep, he is. And yet Cuba says we're ready to take on the USA.
Meantime, the communist regime in Cuba says it is preparing for war following this week's indictment by the U.S. of Raul Castro. Cuba's deputy foreign minister is calling it a, quote, political action designed to lay the groundwork for an American invasion. And the Cuban government is reportedly handing out pamphlets to citizens titled Family Guide for Protection Against Military Aggression. The text warns that the U.S. is threatening a military assault to, quote, annihilate the dream of Fidel Castro. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Cuba has consistently posed a threat to the United States.
Cuba not only has weapons that they've acquired from Russia and China over the years, but they also host Russian and Chinese intelligence presence in their country, not far from where we're standing right now. So Cuba has always posed a national security threat to the United States. They, by the way, have been one of the leading sponsors of terrorism in the entire region. We're not going to do humanitarian aid that falls into the hands of their military company that they have, and then they take that stuff and they sell it at the dollar stores and put the money in their pocket.
Yeah,
that's not going to work that way.
No, we're going to. Rubio says we're willing to give you $100 million in humanitarian aid for your people, not your leaders. In the meantime, a high-ranking Cuban military conglomerate official detained, her green card revoked by the U.S. State Department over national security and foreign policy threats. Another case, high profile, ICE detaining the daughter of an historic Cuban general after she overstayed a tourist visa. Round them up, get them out. And a former CIA station chief says, you can tell Trump is getting tough with Cuba.
This is the most aggressive U.S. posture towards Cuba in years. The indictment of Raul Castro over the Brothers of the Rescue murders is not just symbolic. It is Washington signaling that time no longer guarantees immunity for regime elites. But the bigger shift is strategic. Cuba is no longer being treated as a Cold War relic or just some sort of migration issue off our coast. The administration is framing Havana as part of a hostile network tied to China, Russia, Iran, intelligence operations, and even most recently, the potential military drone activity off the U.S. So the timing matters, and I think it's going to be a lot sooner than later.
Sooner than later. And Cuba knows that Trump is going to be serious about this. And now that we've got the new carrier headed into the Caribbean, I should say the new, it's the USS Nimitz. We're putting it on base in the Caribbean. That should be a sign that we are damn serious. Coming up, an admission finally from Jill Biden. I'm acting like Joe Biden right now. And an admission from Jill underscoring how power hungry she is. Shameful, absolutely shameful. I'll have that story. And the story behind the story. The House of the Mysterious Death, the house in Peavely, Missouri. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Andersen, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Jill Biden saying she feared a medical emergency.
I don't know what happened. I mean, as I watched it, I thought, oh my God, he's having a stroke. And it scared me to death.
That's after then President Biden, in June of that year, took the debate stage in front of millions, delivering faltering answers.
Dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
A debate performance widely panned as disastrous.
Until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence.
Jill Biden later walking the former president off the stage and at the time showing no signs of concern.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question.
Yeah, give him a sucker or an ice cream cone. And yet Jill Biden now admitting, yeah, I was concerned he was having a stroke on the stage. I don't know that he wasn't. I don't know if they ever really tested to see if he had had a stroke or if he was just lost dementia, early dementia. And I pity him if that's what he's going through. I feel for him. I truly do. But Jill Biden and the other Democrats just kept shoving him out there, prop him up, and then make excuses all around it. Oh, he's just fine. He's fine. That was not looking fine in any way. Do you remember that was in the first debate with Trump? The very first debate. I remember because News Talk STL was holding a watch party out at Johnny's hideout at the time. And everybody in there was just jaw-dropping. What is he trying to say? And the picture showing Trump beside him, Trump was confused looking at him like, what's going on? And finally he had to say, I can't answer. I don't even know what he said. No one did. We've defeated Medicare. That should not go over well with the Democrat crowd, but again, they're looking for how do we spin it, how do we make it look good? Jill Biden helped protect him and kept shoving him forward. He's good enough to run the country. Keep going, Joe. What did them truths, the Democrats in general, do the same thing? Just keep pushing him. Because we don't have anybody except, you know, Kamala's word salad, who's just as bad. Keep pushing him. What did the legacy media do? Support, surround him, protect him. But in the end, Nancy Pelosi and others gathered and said, he can't do it. Let's put Kamala in. And Hunter Biden to this day is angry at Pelosi and the rest of them because they said, you took daddy off the stage when he could have won. He would not have won. And you should have been one of the ones, if you had any love for your father, which I have would certainly question, that you should have been up there saying, get him out, get him off of this. This is just not just humiliating, but dangerous in many ways. I want to share something. I've been doing a commentary today. My commentaries run three times a day. Around 7:30 in the morning, the Mike Ferguson Show, and the Jamie Allman Show around 12:20 to 12:30. And then again in the Tony Colombo Show, just around 3:55 before we go to Tim Jones and Chris Arps. And the commentary today was focusing on a piece from the Financial Times that basically was suggesting smartphones are the reason birth rates are declining. No, how in the hell is that possible? First of all, I need to give credit to my boots on the ground, Andrew in Chicago, for pointing this out. I had not seen this piece. This is from the Financial Times. It is generally considered a centrist publication. In some areas, it might be more liberal, in some areas, more conservative. But overall, centrist. Here's what they point out. In more than two-thirds of our nation's 195 countries, the average number of children born to each woman has fallen below the replacement rate of 2.1 that keeps populations stable without immigration. In 66 countries, the average is now closer to 1 than 2. And in some, the most common number of children born to each woman is 0. And again, the Financial Times continues that just 5 years ago, the UN predicted there would be 350,000 births in South Korea in 2023. That's a 50% overestimate. The real figure, 230,000. Now, we've seen numerous reasons for this falling off. Partly women wanting to go to work, not stay home, be moms. But it's also in areas where more electronic and digital materials are available for them. That's occupying their time. And I'll come to the smartphone again in a moment. But in 2023, are you listening? Are you listening? In 2023, Mexico's birth rate fell below that of our nation for the first time. So did Brazil, Iran, Sri Lanka. Lower and middle income countries are now getting old before they get rich, the Financial Times points out. And they point out the population aging shrinks the workforce, puts a drag on growth in production. The Japanese stagnation since the 1990s, almost entirely explained by low birth rates, shrinking its working age population. One economics professor at the University of Pennsylvania and a leading researcher in all this said, fertility decline is a big question of our time. He argues that almost all pressing problems flow from the collapse in birth rates. Everything else is downstream. Elon Musk has argued that declining birth rates represent the biggest risk to civilization. And of course, some believe, well, no, smaller population is good. That will help tackle climate change. And a recent study found lower birth rates will have at least a negligible impact on emissions over the coming decades. You don't have to be a scientist to figure that one out. Most young men and women still report wanting around maybe two children, even in South Korea, where most women now have zero. So what is going on? Part of it's fertility issues, obviously. The rates of marriage and cohabitation remaining constant in the U.S. over the past decade, The country's total fertility rate would be higher today than 10 years ago. We've seen high-income countries choosing to spend more time watching TV than copulating. Let's put it that way. Then you've got all the money that has to be spent on child benefits, child care, parental leave. And many people just decide, I'll live single without kids. I'm fine with that. Or if we do, we're only going to have one. But here's the key pointed out by the Financial Times. Even when couples can afford to move into their own place, they're increasingly likely to separate. Several move in together now more likely to split up than to have a child. That's a sharp reversal. And the recent most popular decline, they say, a paper in the University of Cincinnati was published looking at birth rates through the lens of the 4G mobile network in the U.S. and U.K. The number of births fell first and fastest in areas that received high-speed mobile connectivity earliest. Smartphones transforming how young people spend time with each other, sharply reducing in-person socializing. The U.S. and British Australian birth rates for teens and young adults broadly flat through the 2000s, falling markedly from 2007. Same thing in France, Poland, and other places. All of these coincide with the mass use of smartphones in local markets. In country after country, the birth rate plunged after smartphones, and the younger the age group, the more pronounced the downturn. One analyst says, to meet a person you're going to marry requires filtering through a lot of people. If you socialize much less, it takes you much longer to find a match if you find one at all. And of course, then you have to consider, are we going to even have a baby? You can go to your Tinder or whatever you want to do, swipe left, swipe right, and you decide, oh, this one's for me, let's get together. But then do we want to have a baby? Maybe not. One expert says all of this is cultural leapfrogging, allowing Instagram, TikTok, and others to enable young women around the world to bypass traditional authorities, raising their expectations for a relationship in a way male counterparts are often not prepared for. And along this, women have moved forward and leftward, men have not. A later study found that even back in the early days of watching TV soap operas portraying small families led women to have fewer children. But now the smartphone is just easier to communicate, switch on, switch off. You don't have to actually meet someone face to face. It's an amazing twist of fate, is it not? Coming up, the story behind the story. The mysterious death house in Fenton, Missouri.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Exposure to elevated levels of formaldehyde is an important public health issue. Following Hurricane Katrina, when displaced people were temporarily housed in new trailers and mobile homes supplied by FEMA, concerns over exposure to formaldehyde off-gassing from building materials, furnishings, and fabrics in these temporary homes gained national attention. In response, FEMA and other government agencies released a flyer entitled What You Should Know About Formaldehyde in Mobile Homes. The following are excerpts from that document. Exposure to formaldehyde can make you feel sick if you breathe a lot of it. People can have symptoms such as sore throat, cough, scratchy eyes, and nosebleeds. Some people are more sensitive than others, so an exposure that causes no problems for some people can make other people sick or uncomfortable.
Or it could lead to death. And therein was where the story lies with what happened in Peavey, Missouri. Dow Chemical invented Styrofoam back in 1941. They patented in 1944 and began commercial sales in 1946. You probably have had coffee or something out of a Styrofoam cup. Supposedly, there's no danger for drinking out of a Styrofoam cup because it has been so-called cured. It has been left out long enough that any fumes that might be associated with the Styrofoam, that's finally cured, it's available for consumption in various ways. You could eat the Styrofoam cup, and it won't make you sick, generally. Might cause congestion and problems with your bowels, but beyond that, you'd probably be acceptably all right. The story behind the story today is focusing on the House of Mysterious Deaths that occurred in Peavey, Missouri, 1978. I covered that story for a local television station, and I do not have access to my reports because, once again, I have to have them tell me you can't have it and you're not going to, so I don't even bother anymore. But I'm going to share some of what was written up because it tracks the story very well by a writer for the, make sure I got the right publication. It's a Chicago publication that came down and did some of the story on this as well. It happened, as you heard in that opening, from IAQ Video Network, styrofoam in some of the homes sent down to help house victims of Hurricane Katrina, suffered several illnesses. And we're going to come back to that later. But well before that time of Katrina, in 2005, in September 1978, a woman by the name of Eva Sims and her husband were having their home exterminated for pests to get away from the fumes. They were going to spend the night of September 19th, the home of their daughter, Bonnie Boyer. But on that day, they were unable to contact anyone at the Boyer home. Repeated phone calls, only a busy signal. Eva drove over to the home to investigate, and first person she encountered was Bonnie's husband, Robert. He said he didn't look like he knew me. When she asked where Bonnie was, he looked back at me, shook his head as he didn't know. She started going through the house. She found the dead body of her daughter, Bonnie, lying on the bedroom floor, covered with a blanket. Robert went in the bathroom vomiting, started crying. She called police. When police arrived, they knew there was something, but they didn't know what. The Boyer's two dogs and cat were found inside the house in a weakened state. The dogs eventually recovered. The cat later euthanized to obtain tissue samples. And in fact, I visited the vet where the cat was euthanized to find out what he found, and it was still not that clear. The Boyers had two children, 16-year-old Tanya, 14-year-old Barry. They were both semi-conscious. Couldn't really say much more than their names and ages. The first officer entering the home, Colleen Fitzpatrick, got so nauseated she collapsed. Another officer thought he smelled a gaseous substance in the basement. What had happened is Boyer was building a home. He had built the basement first. He was then in turn going to build the scaffolding and the floors up above the basement. So there was no ventilation. Dow Chemical at that time was allowing employees and others to pick up scrap pieces of their foam for panel using and use it in their home for insulation if they chose to. Boyer had about 30 styrofoam insulation panels. They were outside his home. He had guys over, they were going to watch a football game, and they realized it's going to rain. So they helped him get all of those insulation panels inside the home. Then they later left after the game. So the family was there all night long, and this, quote, uncured styrofoam was still releasing odors that maybe they could tell and smell or not. I've been in some freshly made mobile homes, and I can tell you, you can smell there's some kind of difference in the air. But is it harmful? Dow insisted, well, we did nothing wrong. They took it. They used it. Bottom line, Tanya Boyer, the daughter, never recovered fully with her health. She died. Her father left permanently impaired. He had sued Dow Chemical for $3.6 million in damages. I remember being at some of those hearings, listening to the arguments going back and forth. The case eventually settled out of court with the judgments of the matter permanently sealed. Dow Chemical insisting, we did nothing wrong. And in fact, a dog, a kitten, and a rat were saying also found in the Boyer home. They had no noticeable effects. EPA agents said they found no sign of any toxic gas. But everyone in the Peabody neighborhood were nervous about what happened. I remember being there with my camera crew. We're maybe 30 feet from the door, and I want to get closer. My cameraman did not want to get any closer. I had a wireless microphone, so when I want to get closer, let's see what I can see inside. I got there, they would not let me enter. They wouldn't let me go any deeper in the doorway. So I never really got to see what was inside the home, except as described by police later and recounted in this Chicago paper article. All the experts admit they were stumped. They just didn't know. There was another blow to the symptom of the death theory on September the 17th. A friend of the Boyers began showing some illness, yet another friend had nothing. A 10-year-old niece had spent one night with him during that time. She got sick. Her father took her to the hospital. The cause of her illness, also a complete mystery. And yet here came another event happening, as reported by the Associated Press.
In the case of the FEMA trailers, they were made quickly and distributed quickly because there were obviously pressing needs for them, and there was that issue that they came out onto the market, out into use so quickly.
I think it's pretty sad that they're using these trailers that have been proven over the years to not be healthy to live in. They're just, it's a complete disregard for the health of people that are here to work.
I mean, they need places to stay. So, I mean, if they could do it with trailers, that's fine, but they should be doing it with a trailer that's safe for everybody.
Formaldehyde is an off-gassing product of, I think, the particle board and probably some of the other synthetic parts of the trailer, whether it's the carpet or the paneling, any kind of synthetically derived paneling.
The people that's got sick in the past years, that we've used them for Rita and Cameron and stuff, and if we use them here, you're going to hurt innocent people that need to get sick. They're just trying to help out the community.
Trying to help the community, but they were, in fact, poisoning many of them. 2005 FEMA trailer concerns got documented in more detail, and of course this was all after the 1978 Peevely case. But there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
It's another blow for victims of Hurricane Katrina. They're being urged to move out of their government-issued trailers after tests found toxic levels of formaldehyde fumes. More than 500 trailers in Louisiana and Mississippi had an average of 5 times the fumes found in most modern homes. Some had 40 times more fumes. FEMA provided 120,000 trailers to Gulf Coast residents after Hurricane Katrina and Rita. Health officials say residents still in the trailers should be moved out quickly to minimize further exposure. Last May, FEMA dismissed findings that showed the trailers posed health threats, despite complaints from residents.
Continually had to have medications for antibiotics, cough, congestions. They just have not been able to seem to clear this, and I continue to suffer with an inability to breathe.
In a congressional hearing last year, FEMA's chief apologized to trailer residents.
We recognize now that we have an issue. We are dealing with it in the best manner we can.
But, of course, by then, many people were sick. The only thing difference between those who were living in the FEMA trailers and what happened in Peevely, Missouri, they had fully uncured, to use the term, foam panels inside the house. At least with the trailer, they were somewhat cured, but they were being rushed out in production. They were trying to get out 120,000 trailers to provide housing for hurricane victims from Katrina and Rita. One trailer maker described what he saw.
The company got the largest trailer contract right after the hurricanes hit in August 2005. More than $500 million to supply 50,000 trailers as quickly as possible.
How much pressure were you put under to produce those trailers?
Oh, incredible. Incredible amount of pressure.
By early 2006, this plant was cranking out more than 100 trailers a day, about 3 times normal production. A pace former employees say that quickly forced the company to turn to low-quality materials.
So I was the one that laid down those floorboards that are so famous right now for the amount of formaldehyde they have in them. You could smell something wrong with the boards.
A certified EMT, Tommy Yeager, says he came to the aid of sick co-workers almost daily.
They'd sit there and be working 1 minute, the next minute they'd be straight to the floor.
Just keel over.
Oh yeah, just keel over.
Current and former Gulfstream employees told CBS News the company knew it had a problem with formaldehyde.
We were instructed to open the doors and windows so that the odor wouldn't be as strong when FEMA inspectors got there.
In other words, open up the doors and windows and you won't smell it as badly, and you will probably be feeling better. FEMA was slow to take any kind of action, and Dow Chemical continued to insist, we have done nothing wrong. You know, they got the first report of formaldehyde problems in the trailers from Southern Mississippi, who contacted a local TV station because their independent testing showed their constant respiratory ailments were likely due to high levels of formaldehyde. Do you remember in science, in your school days, when you were dissecting a frog, do you remember the smell of formaldehyde as you were doing the dissection? That's basically what was coming out of this particle board or other things, foam insulation, styrofoam, so forth. And if it's in an area where it's enclosed, you're going to have people getting sick. And if they're in there for very long, they might truly get not just a harmful dosage, but a deadly dosage. FEMA finally got around to dealing with it and said that, look, if we increase ventilation, that would reduce the formaldehyde levels. The plan, which apparently everybody seemed to like, was to seal the unoccupied trailers for 2 weeks after they were built, then ventilate them by running the air conditioning or opening the windows for 2 more weeks, and then turn them over to the people that needed housing. And I remember driving past what had been a horse racetrack in Lafayette, Louisiana. The lot was filled with FEMA trailers that had been confiscated back by the government and were not going to be used to house FEMA victims from Rita or Katrina. And yet later in time, they began to allow these trailers to be sold at greatly reduced prices. And if people wanted to buy them, they did. Buyer beware, I would have said. Tomorrow's story behind the story, getting my pilot's license and then having my pilot instructor say, okay, now go out and scare the hell out of yourself, which I did. We got our second hour coming up, dealing with Ebola. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.